Hey, welcome to episode 81 of Scar Bearers. I'm Chris D.T. Gordon. It is fantastic to have you here with me today. And as always, in a technological sense, you can't see them, but you can sense them. It's Nate and Britton Barron with their technological talents. If you want them to work on your projects, just reach out to them at Nate Barron. Now, you're probably wondering if you're watching this on YouTube, Chris, why are you wearing a hat? Specifically, this big warm hat. Well, it's November, and for bald guys, it gets really cold really fast. And nothing warms up my noggin faster than my Tag beanie that you can grab at the Chris D.T. Gordon's Tag and Pop Shop at chrisdtgordon.com. And if you use the promo code TAGPOP1, TAGPOP1, you get 20% off of everything you grab. So grab one of these nice hats that I'm actually going to take off now because I'm inside and it's kind of warm, but I do apologize for the glare. And you can also grab this nice sweatshirt and all kinds of other things at the Chris D.T. Gordon's Tag and Pop Shop at chrisdtgordon.com. Well, folks, sometimes you meet someone and you plan on getting together with them, and then something happens. And then you plan another time to get together, and then something else happens. But finally, you keep at it, and you keep at it, and you finally get to meet with this person. And that's what Jimmy and I have been dealing with. Jimmy Clare is finally able to meet with me today. Jimmy, how are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Yeah, and we've had a bit of a challenge trying to link up our schedules so we can meet with each other, but we're finally here. Hopefully nothing causes this train to derail, so we're going to go with it. And Jimmy and I are connected. Not only do we have our own podcasts, and I was a guest on Jimmy's podcast a couple months ago, but also we had events in our childhood shape who we are today. And so, Jimmy, if you wouldn't mind, please tell us about your childhood and how it helped you become the person that you are.
So growing up, I'm on the autism spectrum. I was bullied from elementary school all the way up to high school. I've been called different names. I was nearly obese for my age group back then. I think the borderline of the obese group back then was like nearly, I think like at 180, 185-ish. And I forget what I was checking in. I think it was like 179-ish maybe. I like to say 180 just to round it up. I don't like odd numbers. though there's some odd numbers stuff on my website, which I'm like, I don't know. I just went with it. And so when I was reaching the 180 mark, my doctor said, Jimmy, you need to lose some weight. And I remember thinking in my head when they said that, I was like, well, doc, you're a little heavy too. So I was like, I don't like people who telling you to go do something when they don't take their own advice. And it's like, how do you call yourself a leader? How do you tell yourself, yes, I'm a doctor, but I eat 25 million donuts a day. I don't know. I'm not saying he or she did. I'm just saying, but it's like, you start eating healthy and you start losing weight and then I'll go lose weight. Live by example here, folks.
Yeah, do what I say, not what I do, right?
Exactly.
So when that doctor told you to lose that weight and now after that little internal monologue you had, did you take his advice?
No, I just kept doing what I was doing of doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so the bullying just continued on and off. And there was this one principal in my middle school. We had three principals in the middle school. One is the head principal, two assistant principals. One assistant principal did like pretty much everything that the head principal did. But then the other principal, I like to call him Cuckoo for Cocoa Puss because holy, he, if you told him bullying existed, he said, bullying does not exist in these hallways. That's why I'm in here in this room today, because I just felt like I needed some kind of a pep talk. Yeah, no, I'm here because I'm reporting a bully incident. And of course, I didn't say any of this in sarcastic or whatnot at the time. I was totally pissed off that he was not listening to me.
Yeah.
And I think I went to him like over 100 different times, still never listened to me. Hmm. And my seventh grade teacher, who knew how to teach me on my one-on-one level of my preferred learning style, and there was like maybe 12 other kids in the class, but she could teach at everyone's different learning styles and levels of learning, and she knew that there was something off with my routine, because people on the autism spectrum likes the routine. And I'm a person, back then, my favorite time of the day of school was when I got to go home. But these bullies were on my bus too. Oh. And so I was getting bullied on the bus and I was getting bullied in school. And it's like, oh, I just can't get away, can I? And so the only way I could get away was I started skipping taking the bus home. And the first time I made it sound like, oh, I was talking to a teacher at the school, I needed some help with this project. And it flew the first time. And then maybe a second time, I don't remember the exact details. And then I tried for a third time. Well, it didn't fly. Mm-hmm. So my teacher said to me, I was like, Jimmy, is there something wrong with you? I mean, not like she was asking if I was mentally ill or something. She was like, is there something up with you? Like, you don't normally skip the bus. And it's like, how did she figure this one out? And it's like, I'm just starting to figure out why I'm skipping the bus too. I'm just thinking of some kind of different, I don't know. I was thinking off the top of my head, and it's like, should I say I forgot my school books this time? And then she didn't let me get away with, she didn't let me call my parents, because back then in the school there was one payphone and I didn't have any money on me to call home.
Okay.
And so she wouldn't let me use her classroom until I told her what was going on. And so I was like, well, this is a great way to block me from the phone. And they really get, like, yeah, it was kind of felt like if you want to be a millionaire on that show, and it's like, you cannot use your lifeline until you answer this one simple question. I was like, crap. And so I told her, and she was ticked off as well for me, because I told her, like, I told this principal 100 freaking different times and he still wouldn't listen. So she eventually got involved, and that principal, he didn't quite listen to her either. Then my guidance counselor got involved too. And so when you get a guidance counselor and a teacher, it started to look bad for that guy. And he still didn't quite listen. And then we went to the head principal, and she made that assistant principal look like crap. Mm-hmm. And because she at least wandered the hallways of the school, so she knew what was going in, what's going on in the schools and whatnot. And but this guy, like, he barely left his like 4x4 office. And as I, yeah, it must be wonderful being in a comfortable office, not having to deal with anybody or anything. Cool. I was like, geez, he's getting paid to do nothing.
So what did the head principal finally do?
Well, the head principal finally stepped in. I don't remember exactly what she did, but it got two of those bullies to stop doing what they're doing. But then But then when I got into high school, I met three more other bullies that I called the Three Musketeers, but they weren't the nice Musketeers. And I even called them the Three Stooges as well.
Okay.
And they weren't the funny Three Stooges. But these guys bullied. I got literally bullied every day, like throughout the whole school year. And finally, when I got to 11th grade, I saw this commercial for P90X on TV. Mm-hmm. And me and my dad tried I tried a few different things. I tried a at-home personal trainer. I don't remember what happened to the personal trainer because I don't know if my parents let him go or whatnot, because I wasn't like too young to remember, but I don't remember every single inside, every small little detail. I remember the big events, I just never saw him ever again. And I didn't really like him either because again, he was kind of a heavy kind of personal trainer. And it's like, how do you manage to, again, take advice from somebody who doesn't take their own advice?
Yeah, and I was like, that's kind of tough to take.
I was like, as a personal trainer or a nutritionist or a doctor, at least be somewhat in shape. And it's like, now if you had like an overfilled belly because you had a big lunch and you're still digesting, fine. But if you're eating unhealthy stuff, I'm not taking advice from you. It's like a doctor's like, now don't go smoking here. He comes out of his office. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a 12 pack.
Yeah. You know, and there's a difference between someone who is, built a little bigger, but who does what they say you to do, they tell you to do. You're absolutely right. And then there's the people who, who might look a little bigger, but they do eat unhealthy. And so, yeah, there's a huge designation there or difference there. So the P90X, what drew you? I mean, obviously, it's the draw of working out at home. How did it initially affect you working with the P90X?
Well, with P90X, me and my dad finally ordered the DVD, and it was on DVD back then. This DVD still exists, but it was the only way to get the workout DVD. Mm-hmm. Now it's Beachbody on demand. Now it's everything on there, everything I want, where all the workouts are available. And so I remember crawling up the stairs the first night we did it because it was only like the test to see if we were physically able to do it. Yep. And it says, please consult with your doctors. And it's like, our doctors were at home eating dinner with their family. And it was either we could start tonight or it was not going to do it at all. Mm-hmm. And so I remember starting it that night, and me and my dad were kind of both laughing at the, I was like, well, maybe we should ask our doctors and say, yeah, and it wasn't the best idea that we ever had, but I knew if I didn't get started, it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And because I'm one of those people all day, like, I need to start something and I need to make progress on it. And if I don't make progress on it, well, it's going to go 5 years later down the road and I'm just never going to get to it.
Exactly. So, yeah, we can't wait for the time's perfect because that time will never come.
Yeah, there's never a perfect time to do anything, to be honest.
Exactly.
I got to wait for the perfect time to start this. When's the perfect time? Do you know that definition in your head? Because I don't.
Yep, nope, nope. So you got started, you crawled up the stairs after that first workout. Yeah. So how did the second workout turn out?
Well, the second one, still the same thing. Basically, like the first week was just a pain. And I finally got to the when we got to the finally the halfway point of P90X, so that would be say like 50 days, 60 something.
Yeah, it's like a 13-week program. So it'd be like after week six or something, week six, week
seven. I started seeing like all the muscles that were coming in and being defined, and it gave me the confidence, and I was like, I feel like I'm ready to face those bullies. And I remember I had to make a decision whether or not I was gonna confront them in my math class, or I was gonna confront them in in the hallway. And I didn't really want to do it in the hallway, because even though there were security cameras in the hallway, I don't know if you like, and you know, some movies, they're like the wall of TV monitors or computer monitors. Yep. Well, I, even though when I got in trouble in school, I've never seen any monitors whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah, I think those are decorations. And I'm like, I don't know if they work. And if they do work, I don't know how accurate if that particular one is working. So like up near my, in the hallway I was in for my math class, and I was like, I'm going to interrupt my math class. And I really didn't want to do it that way, but I wanted witnesses, because then there'd be like my friends who was getting also bullied along with me, the teacher, a teacher's assistant. So I was like, okay, now I got people watching this. So I was like, so if I get in trouble, well, whatever. And I was like, I'll take it. And so I remember standing up in front of, in my class out there, the bullies were making fun of my one friend who was in a wheelchair. And these doorways were like this wide. And she has one of those electrical wheelchairs with the joystick on it.
Yeah.
And those things, I gave her a lot of credit. I was like, I don't know how you use one of those things. And like, I know how to use a joystick, but it's like, on a wheelchair, I don't think I could fit through that stupid door. Yeah. I was like, give me a wider door, sure. But I was like, it's like a, I don't know, a goalpost, smaller than, I don't even know. But it was not made for a wheelchair like that.
Yeah.
And so after the first time, after the last time that they made fun of her, for bumping into the door frame of the with a wheelchair, I got up in class. My teacher saw me, and he said, "Jimmy, sit back down." I was like, "Hold on a second." I went up to the bullies. I cursed. I yelled. I said every nasty name in the book to them. I got right up in their face. My muscles and my veins were popping out, like, and I scared them the hell out of them. I could tell. And my and I remember they tried one more time, and I got one of them expelled, and not me personally, but the principal. Once I that happened, I went down all the way to the principal, told them what happened. One got expelled, and then they found out that that person got expelled. They left me and my friends alone after that. As I told you, you don't want to freaking mess with me. I was like, I took all your crap from every single day from like ninth grade to 11th grade. And those other bullies, there was like different bullies from elementary school to middle school, but there were like three or four different sets of bullies. But these guys picked on me from ninth to 11th. And I was like, I'm done.
That was very brave of you to stand up for your friend, because I know that we all have our areas of weakness, and you know, we don't want to be seen in a certain way sometimes, or we want to do the right thing, but you know, the other thoughts pop into our heads that keep us back. And I'm proud of you for stepping up for your friend as a teacher. you know, I think, well, may, you know, is there a better time you could have done that? But on the other hand, I know that you want, like you said, you wanted witnesses. So I totally understand where you're coming from. But I'm so happy that you had the courage to do that, you know, to stand up to your bullies. And once you had that courage, that notch on your belt, that you could stand up to your bullies, what did that give you the, I want to say license to, but the courage to do after that?
Well, after that, it gave me a courage just to feel like I'm not going to let anyone else pick on me or my friends. And, you know, have you ever seen the show The Blacklist?
I've heard of it.
Well, at the time when I was in high school, The Blacklist didn't exist. But ever since I started watching it, I always feel that kind of way. I mean, like, I'm not like a criminal mastermind like Reddington, but I just walk tall and proud and say, don't screw with me.
That's good. I'm glad you weren't, you know, a criminal mastermind, because I'm not sure where this show would go after that. But it's good to have that confidence. And I'm glad you earned that confidence through the working out, through the P90X. Did you, now after you, I'm guessing you finished P90X, right?
Yep, twice.
So after that program, what did you do next?
After that, I, like 3 years later after high school, I enrolled in community college. And then after that, just to keep challenging myself, I went back to karate after a 10-year break, and I had to start over from a white belt, because when I left karate, I was at a red belt with two stripes. I mean, it was a stripe, and I was two belts away from my black belt, but I was like, I'm not finished. And it was like, I need to go back. And I didn't leave because I wanted to, but at the time they wanted me to do grappling, which is a form of wrestling. And I couldn't do it because I had spinal stenosis. I have spinal stenosis in my neck, mm-hmm. which makes it hard for me to turn left and right, up and down. And like, if I get severe whiplash, I can be paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh yeah.
And so but now that I can get my black belt and just kickboxing, so I don't have to take grappling, and I found my same sensei again. And it's funny, like, I remember the other day I was talking to him, and I asked him, like, how long did we know each other for? He's like, one too many years. But yeah, the reason I said that is because, like, I've seen like one or two different black belt ceremonies, and each time when there is a ceremony, he always talks about how long he knew this person or how long this person's been training for, and it's like, I can only possibly imagine what he will think whenever I get my black belt, because they keep probably like, well, I know Jimmy for a long ass time, and I just can't get rid of him.
He's like a bad penny Jimmy.
Exactly.
Always turns up. Well, congratulations on when you get that black belt. I know I'm closing in on that milestone myself, so I know how it is to work so hard and then finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then, so I see behind you, Jimmy, you have some words there, and I know that you're covering up some of the words, but I know that they say crazy fitness guy. Where did the idea for that come up?
So it came up when I was finishing, I think, my first or second semester of college. And I really liked my English professor. He told me the only way to become a better writer, I mean, to continue improving your writing, is by writing every single day. And I know I won't be consistent if I was writing on a piece of paper or writing in just a Word document or a Google Docs, because we all know we don't continue doing something if we don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to admit, I was not a big fan of writing when I was when I was in high school or middle school. We were just told to write what we did over the summer break. I didn't know how to write an essay. And when I first met my English teacher, I was so nervous because, like, I've never written an essay in my life. Or, I mean, maybe I wrote an essay before, but not in the format that they wanted it. And it's like, what is MLA format? What is APA? I have no damn idea. And, like, these formats sound stupid. And whoever came up with it, hey, let's put in a format just because, I don't know.
We'll use these letters to describe it.
Yeah. And so I didn't know how, so I was really nervous. I went to my teacher and I told him, like, look, I don't know how to write an essay. I've written stuff in high school and middle school, but when I was in special education classes, they didn't care about APA format or MLA format. They didn't teach me any of that. He says, I'll take you under my wing and we'll just work together. And so at the end of each class, we sat down. My first draft of my first essay, it looked like a treasure map. Even Captain Jack Sparrow couldn't even find the treasure in that treasure map. Well, he did say he was the worst pirate of them all.
Yeah, but you had heard of him. So there's exactly. That. So after that first treasure map essay, what did your professor do or help you with?
Well, he helped me do all the revisions, and he told me what needs to be changed here. The school made me get this writing book, and I did use it for a few things, but my professor said, we're not even using it. And I was like, I'm going to teach you my way. And I was like, I like this professor. And but, like, he's cool. He wrote his own books. He did comic books and other types of books and fictional books. And so he inspired me. And so at the end of the semester, like I said, he told me to continue writing every single day. So I was like, well, how can I improve my writing by writing every single day? So I was like, okay, so how can I get something out of this, be consistent? And like, could I perhaps, maybe it can help other people along the way? So it's just not just, hey, I'm benefiting from it and that's it. Yeah. And so I decided, let's go make a website. First mistake I ever did for the website, it took me 9 different times to get one up and running. And I started with WordPress, and that was my first mistake because I don't have all the technological details. I like to say I'm very educated in technology. And I know a lot about it. I know how to work with a lot of different software. I know some parts of what's inside of a computer, but I didn't know how to do any of the coding for a website. And I'm saying, like, WordPress is full of coding, but if you need to add a piece of code, I didn't know how to do that. If you need to edit a piece of code, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to do a lot of different things. I didn't know how to resize images. I didn't know how to do this and do that. And, like, I worked 90 plus hours a week figuring out stuff, and I had crappy hosting providers that there's, like, my website literally went down every other week. Ooh. And or every other day. And I was like,
even worse.
How the hell am I spending 100 plus something dollars for these guys and I'm not getting anything? And at the end of the near the end of the first year with my website, I decided, I got to move somewhere else because I just can't keep spending money. And I like this quote from Albert Einstein. He says, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result, that's the true definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am not stupid to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Yes. And I moved to Squarespace, and I've been there for like at least 4 years or maybe 3 years or 3.5 years. I lost track of time, but now I admit there's some stuff that I had to find workarounds for, but whenever my website goes down, it goes down for like maybe 5-10 minutes, but that's once in the blue moon and it's back up and running. It's like,
okay,
hell, I'm paying a premium. At least they do all the technical stuff for me. I still have to do a few things like do the writing, marketing, and I have to fix the broken links. But it's like, from what I had to do, sure, sign me up. Take all the technical details out of me. I don't want to server this, server that. I don't give a crap anymore.
Yep. I gotcha. Yeah, you want something that's going to work and work consistently. So what do you do on Crazy Fitness Guy that helps people while helping you write every day?
So for me, what I do, I write motivational articles on healthy living, and by no means I am no expert in fitness, but I provide commentary of my health and wellness journey through my autistic eyes. I also write about autism, fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, self-care, self-help, managing stress. Everything revolves around healthy living. I also have guests who write on my website, which I'm actually having one next week because I have a term paper due next Friday. It's like five to six page term paper. I'm not getting any blog writing in, and I just can't do it. And so I was like, I'm asking outside help. And I was like, and I'm grateful for it because it's like, okay, you know, helps me get new content out, but it keeps me feeling like, I'm so stressed. How do I do all of this crap? I can't do it. And I'm kind of grateful to now figure out it's okay to ask for help, especially like if you're a one-man show, outsource something. And I was like, sure, I'm not paying the person to write the article, but I'm giving them exposure for my website. I'm linking back to their website. I'm giving them credit where credit's due. So it's pretty much a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And that's nice. You're offering that person the opportunity to share their talents, and you get to use that on your website. So you're right. It is a win-win. That's a very cool a very cool partnership you have.
Exactly. So
what's in store in the near future for you and Crazy Fitness Guy?
Well, next week, it's either next week or the week after, I'm expanding my brand a little bit. It's going to become a parent company of a business partnership with one of my speaking friends and also business partner. And so Crazy Fitness Guys is going to become a parent company.
Oh, cool.
And even though it's not making a buttload of money, but hey, if I was rolling in quite a bit of money, that'd be nice, but it is what it is. And it's going to become a parent company to this other brand that we have. We call ourselves the Autism Speakers. And right now it's going to be hosted on Crazy Fitness Guy's website because I don't have enough power and resources and money to have two websites. So Crazy Fitness Guy is going to be, like I said, the parent one and hosting it. And it has its own page on it, going to have its own page on the website, which is more, is going to feature different articles that me and my friend written and podcasts that we did together, like being on my podcast or being on guest appearances on different podcasts, and see people hire, to get people to hire us to speak at their events and podcasts, etc. So I'm looking forward to it. Just another way that we're helping people. So
that's awesome. I'm so happy that you're allowing someone to share your platform, and you're using it in a partnership type fashion, and you're using it also to help others gain a voice. So have you had a lot of people on the spectrum reach out to you, either personally or through Crazy Fitness Guy?
To be honest, yes, I have. I got a lot of different comments from many people saying, and I was like, I really found your content very helpful. This one person said that, I was like, you know, I know a mom who has two autistic kids, and I didn't, as I never thought in the years to come that they might be having a problem with going to college. And like one of my recent articles was, if I remember the title correctly, reason why sometimes basically the post is going to school with autism, college with autism, and the problems with going to college with autism, because colleges are limited to with their services. Mm-hmm. And like for instance, let's say like for their accommodations, if let's say one of your accommodations or my accommodations is a note taker, well, for colleges, they're not mandatory to get you a note taker. They will have a teacher ask and say, hey, somebody in this class needs notes to be written for them. Who wants to be a note taker for, and they can't disclose who you are, but it's like for this person. And if no one raises their hand and no one says, yeah, I'll take the notes, well, you don't get a note taker.
Okay.
So I was like, so you offer a note taker to me, but I'm not guaranteed to get one. Yeah, this seems logical. Yeah, you might as well just tell me, is like, well, you kind of get one, you kind of don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and so what do you do in that situation when you don't get a note taker?
Well, then there's others, then you have to talk to the accommodation center. Well, they call them, a lot of colleges use the disability center, which is very limiting because it feels like they're just talking about people who can't move or walk or whatnot. And it's like accommodations, at least it's broad and it covers everything. Where the disability center is like, I can move, I can do this, I can do that. I feel like I'm being, it's a black and white thinking here. Come on.
Yes, it is. Some areas of society still struggle with their narrow mindset of how they view things. And so I definitely hope that changes in the near future, because we're finding out just more and more that there's so much more to, for example, disabilities than just being physically disabled. And so we have to take off those blinders and open our eyes to see how can we help people who need the help.
Exactly.
And I like what you're doing, Jimmy, because you're offering that help to people, especially those with autism, to find a way through fitness and through your experience. And so being November, I know that many people like myself see November as a way to practice more gratitude. I like to practice gratitude every day, but a lot of people are doing it this month. What is something that you are grateful for that many people may not really think of when they think of what they're grateful for.
So, well, I'm grateful for a lot of things, but one of the things I'm grateful for, which happened, just to pull something out of the hat, I'm going to name three things just to be specific. One of the things that I was grateful for this year, I was featured in New York City Times Square on a billboard.
Awesome.
And the second one, I was also, I was featured in the Autism Parenting magazine. They gave me like 2.5 pages. And I was like, holy moly, I thought they were maybe would edit like half of it out or something, keep it short and sweet, but they gave me 2.5 pages, like, sweet, thank you. And the third one I'm grateful for is that today is my 103rd podcast guest appearance.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy to be part of that. That's really cool.
Exactly. Woohoo! 103.
So besides Crazy Fitness Guy, Jimmy, where could people reach out to you if they want to contact you?
Well, the best way I always like to say is just crazyfitnessguy.com, because between me and Crazy Fitness Guy, we have 100+ profiles. And just because it doesn't show 100 in the front end, the back end is a lot. And especially now that we also have a parent company to another brand coming next week or the week after, depending on how I can finish this page that we have. Keeping me from not finishing is I'm trying to figure out how to showcase our social profiles for the page for both of us as speakers. And I'm like, I don't have a good idea yet. And I'm like, everything is basically on the page, but I don't have those buttons. And it's not being launched until I figure those out.
Okay. All right. So you're just trying to figure out a way to feature you both at the same time on the page?
Yeah. And okay. Right now I'm like, I don't want to put too much code on it because code just breaks everything else.
Okay. If you were to Photoshop something and have a picture of you two and then have some like a caption underneath giving your information?
Maybe. I'll think about it. I'm still in the works. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying yes. I'm playing around with stuff because, like I said, Squarespace is different things that you have to do, workarounds and whatnot. So,
yeah. Well, I'm excited to find out what comes of it. And so, Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me today and for being part of your 100th podcast appearance. That's great. If I have one more question, it would be this. What is your favorite dinosaur?
The T-Rex.
And why T-Rex?
Well, because it goes after what they really want. And if it's hungry, it goes after food. If it's if they're passionate about something, they go after it. And they're not, it was like, nah, they're not coming to me. I'm coming after it.
Yep, it's good to have a drive. And unless you're the thing that the T-Rex is after. So I guess, take it for what you will. So again, Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it. And folks, if you want to reach out to Jimmy, again, it's crazyfitnessguy.com. He's very inspirational, as you heard, and he's doing a lot of great work. So please help him out. And if you want my message to resonate with young adults that you know, the attitude of gratitude, please reach out to me. It's at chrisdtgordon.com. You can find some of my speaking appearances on there. You can also see my Tag and Pop shop. We can grab some gear for 20% off using Tag Pop 1. And I have a few articles myself. I'm a bit of a writer myself, to use that Norman Osborn meme. So please join me there at chrisdtgordon.com. But whatever you do, please like, subscribe, share these episodes so Jimmy's message and others' messages can be instilled in someone's memory so they can remember that they too can make a difference if they just have some courage and stick up for what's right. So with that, thank you so much for joining me today. Have a great day. And remember to pass on perfection and go for greatness.